I'm going to be reading from the 91st Psalm. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of my Lord, He's my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save me from the fowler's snare, from the deadly pestilence. He will cover me with His feathers, and under His wings I will find refuge. His faithfulness will be my shield and rampart. I will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 might fall at my side, and 10,000 at my right hand, but it will not come near me. You only have observed with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and upon the cobra, and you will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for He acknowledges my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. I've just read to you the 91st Psalm, and some of you might recognize it as a psalm or a hymn that's been referred to as a soldier's hymn. And then perhaps others might say, well, I'm not a soldier. Why read this to me? You know, if you're striving for the high calling of God, you are a soldier. On one or more occasions, the Apostle Paul made it perfectly clear. In Philemon, Paul referred to his companions as fellow soldiers. In Philippians, Paul referred to his companions as laborers and fellow soldiers. And then finally in 2 Timothy 2, Paul admonishes his companions to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. There was no doubt in Paul's mind that he was a soldier, and there should be no doubt in ours. I know that it's reasonable. Some might wonder why I chose the 94th Psalm as a subject to speak about. And so while searching for a subject for a discourse, I thought of a scene that I'll never, ever forget. 64 years ago in 1946, I stood on the bank of the Anzio Beachhead in Italy. I was a guest of the division photography officer, and his job that day was to photograph the military cemetery at Anzio. Major McDougall by name. The day was a beautiful day, blue sky, white clouds, and silence. As I stood there in reverence, I looked out across row after row after row of small white crosses. 7,861 individual burials with the names of 3,095 that were either missing or not identifiable. This scene was spread out upon a beautiful green lawn, and down below on a sandy beach, orphan children were playing childhood games. And I looked out across this scene, cross after cross, the words of John 5:25 came to my mind. And I thought of the words, "All of those that are in their graves shall hear the voice of the Son of Man and come forth." And just a short distance away, across a small dirt road, more white crosses stood out. 3,000 to be exact. And these were the crosses over the graves of the German soldiers who died defending that beachhead. I remember leaving Rome that morning with Major McDougall. We drove out south of Rome. We passed the tall Italian cypresses that marked the location of the catacombs. And a short distance further, we found the road that opened up to Anzio, some 20 or 30 miles away. 20 or 30 miles on down to the Mediterranean. The road was a narrow two-way road. The trees lined each side of it, those that were still left standing and survived the war. On either side of the road were evidences of the fierce fighting that went on there. Tanks, all types of military vehicles lay strewn in the wreckage on either side of the road, and the road had been cleared of mines, so it was safe to drive on the road, but very unsafe to get off of the road and walk around. I remember looking out over the side of the road, and I saw a steel German helmet. It had a hole going through one side of it. My first instinct was to think that, well, that would make an interesting souvenir. But you know, that was one of the things that they did very well at that particular time, was to make something that looked enticing and put a hand grenade underneath it. And so when you lifted that helmet up, the hand grenade would go off. I didn't go and pick it up. Arriving at Anzio, at the cemetery, I thought of some of the thoughts concerning the 91st Psalm. One of the things that we realize is that it's not possible for mankind to ever see our Heavenly Father. Even Moses was protected while on the mountain. Our Heavenly Father's shadow is very real. It gives us strength and protection. It gives us love and life. To lie within the safety and the protection of Almighty God is a security that compares to nothing on this earth. And we have it. In this first verse of the 91st Psalm, we have a great truth. It used to be part of the decoration of our meetings at Asilomar. We had a little sign that was up near the platform, and it said, "Come away by yourselves to a quiet place and rest with me." Mark 6:31. Thinking about the cemetery there at Anzio, I realized what a wonderful thing it is to know the truth. All those will hear the voice of the Son of Man and come forth. It was impossible not to feel the emotion. Traces of gunpowder and death appeared to linger all about. In verse 1 of the 91st Psalm, we read, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." In this very first paragraph, a mighty truth is laid down for us. The truth is that those who live a life of communion with God are constantly safe, under His protection, and may therefore enjoy serenity and security of mind at all times. Oftentimes we use the expression that someone is at home with God, a position truly occupied by those who are consecrated. They're in a position very near to our Heavenly Father. This is a secret. It's a mystery to the world. Even our Lord's life was a mystery. Only a few could understand how a man of such talent could give up all he had just to lead the lowly life that he led. His apostles were poor, uneducated men. But you know, they were in this secret place. Those who are consecrated, justified, those who are willing to be misunderstood, yet willing to give a reason for the hope that lies within their heart. These are the ones abiding in the shadow. A translation that I like says that abiding in the shadow means to pass the night, the nighttime of sin and suffering and death. And this seems to me to be very appropriate, for that day we know is coming. But right now, it's just as it has been for the past 6,000 years. And so we pass the night under His shadow, under His protection. Shadows are very indistinct during the nighttime, but when the sun rises, once again they become clearly marked. A time so that in the millennial morning, it will be known very clear just who has been and just who is in the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 2. In verse 2, we have an indication of just who is speaking. Our risen Lord said, I will say to my God, Elohim, mighty one. He is my refuge, a place to flee when in trouble, a place to hide, a fortress, a place which can protect one when one flees to it. We have many refugees, secret societies, clubs, but you know, all of these they're not fortresses. They will fail in the time of trouble. Our Lord said that God was His refuge, and such a refuge, such a fortress, can never fail. He will be a protection in the greatest, the seventh trouble. He is our God, but only while we remain in Him. Verse 3. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. We have an example given to us about a fowler. A fowler is one that catches birds, and Satan is the great fowler. The birds are the Lord's people. Fishes live in water. Animals live on the land. But the birds are far above the world, and so are the Lord's people. We think of the scripture, they shall mount up on wings like angels. Birds have more liberties than other creatures. And so do God's children. Unbound liberty through Christ to fight the world, the flesh, and the devil. And the amount of liberty for each one of us depends upon our flight plan. If we fly at a very high altitude, there will be nothing to obstruct our view. If our altitude is low, close to the earth, the treetops and the buildings will be in our way. Our vision will be like animals and in danger of many snares. We realize that birds can see further than other creatures, and we think of the scripture, "Thine eyes shall behold the land that is far, far off." It's true. Your eyes shall behold the land that is far off. We think of Hezekiah's promise in 2 Kings 25. Our Lord said, "My God, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen your tears." He does listen to our prayers. He shall deliver us from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. And the word here is a Hebrew word. It suggests that this word pestilence means false doctrines, now abroad over the whole earth as never before. We're told that God himself will be our protector. He will be the protector for those who have him for their keeper. He shall cover thee with his feathers. Under his wings alludes to the hen gathering her chicks under her wings. Matthew 23:37. Her natural instinct not only protects her children, but she calls them when she sees that they are in danger. She not only keeps them safe, but cherishes them and keeps them warm. And to this, our Heavenly Father is pleased to compare his care for the care of his people. Verses 5 and 6. Here we have four trials that are named. Trials that if we are faithful, we shall escape, and we shall need not to fear any of them. The first one is the terror by night. We are not afraid because we can see. We can see the glory that's beyond. But the world fears it, for they cannot see ahead. And number two is the arrow that flies by day. Persecution. The wicked shoot arrows at the righteous ones, even bitter words, Psalm 64:3. The third is pestilence, suggests walking in darkness, false doctrines. And finally, the fourth is destruction that wasteth at noonday. Noonday is a time of full light in the heart of the consecrated. And so, the time when a full and sufficient knowledge is reached, if we fall away after we have received full light, there remaineth only second death, Hebrews 6:48 and Hebrews 10:26. Verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at the right hand, but it shall not come even close to you. only with your eyes will you behold and see the reward of the wicked. Perhaps this refers to some of our worldly friends. Verses 9 and 10. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. The character of those who shall have the benefit of comfort of these promises are those which make the Most High calling their habitation. They are continually with God and rest in Him. If we live our life in Him as our habitation, to converse with Him and delight in Him and depend upon Him, then it surely will be our privilege to be at home in God. He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." The promise are sure to all those who have made the Most High their habitation. We have the assurance that whatever happens, nothing shall hurt. There shall no evil befall thee. And then there is a charge that's given to the angels concerning the saints. And the charge is from He who is the Lord of the angels. He's the one that gives them their being and gives laws to them. It says that He shall give His angels charge over thee. And the angels keep the charge of the Lord their God. This is a charge that they receive from our Heavenly Father. It denotes the great care that God takes of the saints, and that the angels themselves are charged and employed to keep them in all my ways. Wherever the saints go, the angels are charged with them, as servants are charged with children. Wherever they go, they have this charge. The care which the angels take of the saints, I think, is reflected most beautifully in the scripture that says that they shall bear thee up in their hands. Some might say that this charge was spoken to the angels. It was the reason for the charge given to them concerning the saints. The reason this charge was given to them is our Heavenly Father said to take care of them, for they're dear to me, and I have a tender concern for them. That's you and me. And so the angels do it with all the tenderness and affection as a nurse who carries a little child about in her arms. They keep the feet of the saints lest they should dash them against a stone, lest they should stumble and fall and tread upon the lion or the adder. These promises are made to those who know our Heavenly Father's name. They know His nature, which we cannot fully understand even now. They are such as have set their love upon Him, and those who rightly know Him or love Him and will fix their love upon him with a resolution never to remove it to any rival. They are such that call upon him by prayer and keep up with him by constant correspondence with him in every difficult case. They refer themselves to him. Verses 14 through 16. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Honor him with long life will I satisfy him, and I will show him my salvation. And so the Lord has offered to us during this gospel age the wonderful and beautiful estate of the high calling, the divine nature, asking in return for nothing of value, just our little all. Not part of what we have, but all that we have. It says that he shall call upon me and I will answer him, knowing that God does not always answer as we might expect. He answers at his wisdom, as his wisdom directs, and it's always for our good. It says that he will be with us in trouble and will deliver us. He delivered us from the worry and cares and snares of the devil. And later we shall be completely delivered from this body of sinful flesh to the divine nature. Now, it's a cross, but then it's going to be a crown. We shall be delivered from all evil if we're faithful. Psalms 149:7 says, with long life will I satisfy him. Our Heavenly Father's idea of long life is different from ours. His idea of long life is immortality. The divine nature, Psalm 17:15, I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness, and I will show him my salvation. He shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. What a comforting thought to all the members of the body of Christ. Angels, using all their strength to protect us against any stumbling stone or false doctrine, guiding us unerringly to that great fundamental rock, which is redemption by the precious blood of Christ. It's a rock of offense and a stone of stumbling to both houses of Israel, Isaiah 8:14. And the feet members of the body, they are the last remaining members of the body of Christ. Perhaps the saints now living could very well be the feet members of Him. These are the ones who are now in danger of being stumbled, even as the feet of the Jewish household, a household of servants, were in danger at the harvest of the Jewish age. How do the messengers the angels bear up the feet members of the body of Christ? How do they do that? It's by helping them to have a clear understanding of the truth and teaching and encouraging them by word and example how to be faithful to the truth and how to run so as to obtain the prize of the high calling. I have a little sign that I put up in my room. It says, at all times, preach the gospel. And when necessary, even use words. Just how the heavenly messengers are connected with this work, we can only imagine. But surely, in great measure, it's done through the teachers in each ecclesia. Our Heavenly Father has, at this present time, given us messengers to enlighten us, to enlighten our understanding and how manifestly this has been fulfilled. The harvest message, with all of its various features, bearing on every phase of truth now due, and every phase of error now brought forward by God's keeping power. And this, we believe, is according to His guarantee that nothing shall by any means hurt the feet of the members of the body of Christ. It's for us to rejoice in these blessings and rejoice in the favors of God, to increase our faith. Surely Satan would like to have us walk by gates and not by faith. He would like to have us continually tempting God. Our Lord left us with one word. He said, watch. Just one word, watch. Verse 13, thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon, thou shalt trample under feet. It's borne out that we are in the hands of our Lord's faithful messengers, the angels, guarded by their vigilant watchfulness. And still, under the constant protection of our Heavenly Father, He shall triumph over every device of Satan, whether he goes about like a roaring lion or whether serpent-like he stealthily lurks about to insert his venomous poison. Verses 14 through 16. He set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver Him. I will set Him on high because He has known my name. Each individual composing the feet class Our Heavenly Father will deliver him and make him to be joined in heirship with Christ. Make him a member of the royal priesthood and a partaker of the divine nature. Verse 16. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Yes? It's difficult for us now, but he will help us to understand his plan in every detail. Each individual is known by God. We are not merely judged by the sight of the eye, nor by the hearing of the ear, but by the thoughts and the intents of a heart. No matter how widely the feet members might be scattered, whether standing alone as we do, or in the company with others, our Heavenly Father's eye is always upon us. We are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, sanctified, set wholly apart under God. It says that we shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty, while the judgments of the Lord are experienced by the great religious systems that bear his name in unfaithfulness. Praise the Lord for such assurances of his loving care. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Praise his holy name.